Well, I will ask you a little bit about the music first, because you know you included three, maybe four zarzuela selections in today's program, which were just so wonderful and you know, beautifully evocative and emotional sounding. I mean, I let out a yelp after one of them because I just thought it was so good. You know, so what attracts you to that program material first of all?
Well, thank you so much, Nathan. It's a pleasure speaking here with you. What attracts me to zarzuela is that it really is the music of my childhood, of my youth. From the time I was, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7 years old, or even before then, my father would, on the piano and the accordion, play these melodies. He would play VHS recordings of them. My mother would do the same thing as she was working, as she was painting. And so before I even wanted to pursue a vocation as an opera singer, zarzuela was always in my heart. Like, I loved it. I would dream to it, you know. I would jam out to it, as it were.
Did you ask your parents about what they were singing about in those stories, in the plots?
Well, sometimes the wonderful thing about it, part of the reason I respond so strongly to it is that...
Because I don't know how old you were, I guess.
Oh, sure. Well, so part of the reason that I love them so much is because they're in my native tongue.
Sure.
So being in Spanish, that already, you know, there's a certain level of connection there. But I would talk to my father and to my mother, say, Dad, you know this piece. You know what? Even before me, I would ask him, Nathan. He would say, Rafa, come over here. And my siblings, David and Annie, I want you to listen to this. This song is about, you know, what's happening here. And I remember there was one about two older gentlemen kind of past their prime, as it were. And they're sitting on a bench thinking about, you know, boy, I would sure love to have a girlfriend. And it's a very comedic thing, you know, zarzuela has. I forget which one that one is from. My goodness, it's maybe La Verbena de la Paloma. I'm not sure. But anyways, it was funny. But then, as you heard in the recital, there's the funny comedic stuff, but then there's the very dramatic, piercing to the heart, romantically tinged stuff. And I really responded to that as well.
And this is all very, you know, it can be very broad, as you just said, mm-hmm. But it's all music, like, for the people, right?
Yes. Yeah, so. Yes, I think that zarzuela, like in many respects opera, despite some of the perceptions that people may have, it's for everybody. It's as broad, just in terms of the musical theater aspect, as saying, hey, movies, television, it's for everybody. There's something there for anybody who's willing to give it a listen. Something's going to strike a chord, if you will, and really get to the heart. I think you heard during the course of this program, I would sometimes jokingly say, hey, I can really relate to this because, you know, X, Y, and Z. Zarzuela's full of that.
And speaking of relating to the audience, I mean, talk a little bit about, or tell me, it seems like you're very comfortable on stage speaking directly to an audience, which is not something that a lot of performers are comfortable doing, but you really connect with people directly. You know, does that come naturally to you?
You know, I'm not sure. You know, I credit a lot to the example set forth by my parents. My father is a professor of industrial engineering at St. Mary's University, and my mother, aside from having her national and international career as a fine artist in oil painting, impressionist, she also teaches here at the Copini Academy of Fine Arts here in town in San Antonio. And watching them get up in front of a crowd, you know, just talk with people, try to connect. Maybe they'll laugh at something I say, whether it's intentional or unintentional on my part. But I really do enjoy that part of performing, because when you sing opera or zarzuela or you know, whatever it may be, number one, it may not always be in English. In fact, well, you know, in opera and zarzuela, usually that is probably not going to be the case. Mm-hmm. in many instances. And so then right off the bat, there's the opportunity to talk to the people who have taken the time and have generously come to come hear you and to say, look, this is what this is about, and not just what it's about, but here's how I connect to it. Let's see, maybe what do you think, you know, about what's happening here? I see that as really something really valuable. I have a really great time doing that.
Obviously, you got interested in music at an early age, asking for certain pieces to be played. You mentioned on the stage about certain arias and songs that connected with you early on. But as a singer and as a performer, at one point in your youth did you realize, you know what, I think that this is, or that this is a career, that this is something that people do, and this is something that I want to do? What was there like a moment that clicked for you?
For me, it was fairly gradual. I had really wonderful people in my life. My family was always supportive, never in a stereotypical negative stage mom or stage dad kind of way, but basically saying, whatever you do, work hard at it, and have perseverance, but be smart about it. And when it comes to a career in opera, well, hey, that's there are maybe other career paths that maybe would be a little more secure. So for me, it was really high school when I really started to wake up to the fact that there are people who do this for a living, and not to be presumptuous or anything like that, but it looks like I might have a shot at doing that myself. And, you know, it's a wonderful privilege to be able to do that. But it's a tough road. And I would say it was really my senior year in high school when it kind of crystallized in my mind, you know, my love of opera, of zarzuela, and of being on stage as Tony in West Side Story at MacArthur High School here in town. And also that was the year that I was a national winner in the Young Arts Competition, which is like a national talent search organization that does so much for young artists. They connect young artists in different fields, whether it's jazz musicians, classical singing musicians, but also photographers, painters in different mediums, writers, and they connect them with master teachers like Martin Scorsese and Yo-Yo Ma and Itzhak Perlman. And that experience was something where I met other singers who were my age, who were trying to discern and make a career out of this at a very young age. And I said, you know, I think this might be what I'm being led to do. And thanks be to God, here I am. And as a young opera singer, still in many respects just starting out, but already have been fortunate enough to do some really great things in my career.
Another thing about your development, though, you know, you joked right before singing Some Enchanted Evening about in my baritone years. So, is that something to where, like, as you're developing your voice, you're kind of looking at where do I fall in this whole line? And were you at one point singing baritone and then you changed to tenor? Is that for more than a joke that you're up there? More than
just a stage joke? Right. Well, men in general, physiologically, probably most men will have gone through, if they pursue singing, where they are a baritone at some point. Now, that's not in any way to take away from these wonderful singers who are true baritones. I mean, of various stripes. A Verdi baritone, I could not sing that rep. I couldn't sing Rigoletto or what have you. But in my case, it was simply a matter of, I think, I wasn't ready to jump into some of those high notes in a full way, in an operatic way. And so the natural option away from that was just to kind of stay in the lower register, in my speaking voice, my chest voice. And so hence, kind of starting out with some baritone rep. And then eventually, slowly, making my way to where I am now, which is a tenor through and through and through.
Cool.
If I may add, I mean, it was the sort of thing where I would sing sometimes in academic competitions like region choir and such, and I would get the note back, hey, we're pretty sure from how you're singing those F sharps and G's that you're probably a tenor. You know, you're competing as a baritone. We think you're probably going to end up a tenor. And at first I was like, oh my gosh, that's scary. And now I'm really grateful for it. I enjoy being a tenor.
You had a chance to be a part of something new this past year, I guess. You referenced it as singing in El Milagro del Recuerdo.
Yes. So this was a world premiere opera at Houston Grand Opera. It's called El Milagro del Recuerdo, or The Miracle of Remembering. And it's a very beautiful piece that mixes very traditionally operatic elements with very traditionally mariachi elements. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful story about a family in Michoacán in the 1960s, and they're getting ready for the holidays, and they're talking about, you know, the decisions that basically shape any family, the decisions that the ancestors took. And so maybe the those in the present are thinking, well, where does my life stack up to that? And how do I live with the fact, all the sacrifice that my forefathers made and such? And it was a very, very beautiful piece, a very beautiful experience, which brought together people from the worlds of musical theater, from the worlds of mariachi, and from the worlds of opera, all those different ways of thinking, and it created something very beautiful that was met with great success to the Houston Grand Opera. Beautiful story by Leonard Folia, our director and librettist, and Javier Martinez, the son of the great maestro Pepe Martinez of Mariachi Vargas, wrote beautiful music, sweeping orchestral beautiful music, and we had a wonderful trio, Chapultepec, mariachi trio, who are based out of San Antonio, did a tremendous job, and so it was just a really, really great time, really great time. Had a very long run of the show, and we're actually going to be doing it again in Arizona Opera, in a little less than a year. And then in possibly some other places, which are not yet set in stone, but fingers crossed.
Oh, well, we hope that someday Opera San Antonio would bring something like that here.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, okay, cool. Well, Rafael, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Nathan. Thank you to all of your listeners for tuning in, and to all that you and your wonderful team, Barry and Barry Brake and the rest of the team at KPAC, for everything that you do. I wouldn't have grown up the way that I did with fostering in many ways more of a love for classical music without what you all do. So
thank you, appreciate it.